called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he called us into his light. And he called us into heavenly things. And when you preach heavenly things, something happened to me the other day in prayer meeting here on Tuesday. And we were in the end of the prayer meeting, and the Spirit of the Lord came over me in a very remarkable way. He said to me, he goes, "You're not always just going to give my words." He goes, "You're soon going to give the manifestation of those words." And he said, "And the lampstand that you preach is a transferable operation." And he goes, "It's a necessity that this body corporately carries the fullness of it." He goes, "For what you carry, you'll be able to give away once that time comes for the manifestation." It was really remarkable, some of the things in the way he showed it to me. You know, when you get caught up in the Spirit, you see things in a way that you don't see them here. You see the reality of the way the kingdom operates. It's very clear. When you get that back down here, it gets a little hazy sometimes. But when you're there, you see it perfectly. There's no questions. He answers all your questions. He answers all your concerns. The way heaven is, when you're in heavenly things, it's just an amazing. He leaves you with such confidence and a peace. And he showed me how he's going to multiply this in the next level. He's actually going to bring the nations here and to places where it births. And it's going to be a tangible operation that can be given away. It can be transferred. You know, Moses put his mantle, you remember, on the 70 elders? The Lord put his on the disciples and they operated just like him. That's a transference. That's anointing of transference. The mantle will transfer that way. Where someone did not pay the price, they'll get to operate in it freely. Amen? It's going to be very powerful. Many of you will go to the nations, and I'm speaking prophetically. Many of you will carry a glory and a demonstration that is not yet in the earth, but it is on its way. Hallelujah. Some of you have been reserved for a time that is to come. Many of your promises have gone unfulfilled because what is does not have the capacity to fulfill your promises. What is to come has the full capacity to fulfill every promise that God's made you. There are many people in the body of Christ that are carrying promises. They are looking into something. They're looking into what is to come. And because of that, they have not operated into it, because it is a commissioned event that's going to come out of the right hand of God. And when that commissioned operation comes out of the right hand of God, it will fulfill what everyone's looking into. The prophets have been looking into it. Apostles have been looking into it. Evangelists have been looking into it. Pastors have been looking into it. Some don't bother looking into it. When you're content in what is, you won't look into what is to come. When you've grown into what is and say, "This is not it," then you'll look for that which is to come. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, "God at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person," look at this, this is the scripture I want you to see, "upholds all things by the word of his power." The very first thing that God wants to do in what is to come, he's not going to uphold what is to come by a gift. Do you understand what I mean? God can put a gift on a person, and that person can administrate a gift. But a movement cannot be administrated by a gift. A commissioned, ordained operation out of heaven must be administrated by God's word. It must be the foundation for which that movement comes. Jesus gave the word, and then the movement came. Amen? God will always precede a movement by his word, and he upholds that movement, especially things that come out of heaven, will always be upheld by the word of God. Now, God will put gifts upon people in the earth for the administration of the kingdom of God. But when God brings a movement, it's going to come first by his word. He's going to send his word in front of that movement. And he sends that word sometimes to one person, sometimes he'll send that word to corporate, especially in the New Testament. He'll send it corporately. And it's that word that's sent forth that heaven is going to respond to. And the way that God does it, he sends his word, and then that company of people brings that word back to him. Amen. And the representation of what is heaven works with the earth. Heaven doesn't do anything just by itself. God has to have agency in the earth. Sons, daughters, heirs. He has to have somebody he works with. Even when God ordains an event, commissions an event, he still has to have somebody or a corporate group of people that he operates with. Case in point, when he was ready to pour out the Holy Spirit, he had already prophesied in the book of Joel he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit. His sons and daughters would prophesy. So why would anybody in the earth have to do anything? If God had already prophesied it, if God had already ordained it, it's going to happen. We don't have anything to do with it. Wrong. When they were in the upper room, the 120 weren't just sitting there waiting. They were waiting in prayer. They were synced up and connected with heaven and what heaven was going to do. That's why they were in one accord in prayer, continuous day and night, continuously day and night, because they were in one accord and they were representing on the earth what was going on in heaven, and they foresaw it because the Lord showed it to them. Now, they didn't have the capacity to see things because they were not born again, but the Lord, he gave it all to him. He said, now this is coming. That same word, the Lord works with us by way of the living word. He shows us what is to come. Though he may not be here in person with us, he still shows us what's coming to sync us up with what is to come. And see, in the book of Acts, even though it was an ordained event, even though the Lord said he's coming, he had an earthly people representing what was coming in day and night prayer. Otherwise, if they didn't need to pray, all they had to do is just wait. If God didn't need anything from them, God was going to do it. He doesn't need you. Just sit around, wait, check out, and when the Holy Ghost shows up, check in. And that's not what happened. God worked with the 120. He was working with their prayer, and he was syncing heaven up with the earth. Not everybody syncs up with heaven. Especially in the birth, they normally sync up after the birth. When they see the things that were birthed. Amen? But more and more, God is going to uphold all things by the word of his power. Now, this gets me to this constitution. Probably 10 years ago. I was in my prayer closet, and the Lord came into my prayer closet. I didn't see him, but I definitely felt his presence in a major way. And I heard his voice. He said, I want to introduce you to the heavenly lawyer. That's what he said to me. And I felt another presence come up from behind me. And in that presence came over me. And from that encounter, birth, the series, or the understanding of what we call here spiritual constitution. And from that, the Holy Spirit began to tell me, and he began to share with me. He goes, when you have a normal prayer request, you bring a scripture. When you're believing God to bring down heavenly things, you need to bring the precedence of what God has done to him. And he said, whatever you're asking for that's not presently in the earth, he goes, you're going to need to find the full precedence of his word and categorize that word by way of precedence. So when you ask him, you're asking according not only his word, but the historical nature and character of God that's found in his word. From Genesis to Revelation, for God changeth not. Amen. From that point, we started forging constitution. Now, from that point, each time God would give us a revelation, we would kind of update the Constitution. I'd put it in there because it was a part of the whole. Well, what he did recently, when he opened this revelation of the golden candlestick, You have to understand something about where we are with all of this process. That whole encounter was for this day. Its sole purpose was to capture the mind of God corporately, to capture the understanding of the kingdom of God, more importantly, what God is going to do next. What is heaven bringing out of the right hand of God? What's coming down into the earth? What does the lampstand represent? Because I received that particular download 25 years ago. It was one of the first downloads I ever received, was the download of Zechariah chapter 4. And from that encounter, since the turn of the year, the Lord exploded, as you know, the revelation of the golden candlestick. Now we know what it is we're carrying. Amen? Now we know what God is about to do. We see it. It's just like the Lord was here telling it to us, because the living word of God told us and is telling us that which is to come. And we're not always going to be preaching that which is to come. You've got to understand that. We are soon going to enter into the things that we have been preaching. We're not going to enter into it. That stuff's going to enter into us. That word is going to become flesh, and that word is going to dwell among men. Hallelujah. But God has given us a very special calling, and we are a peculiar people. Amen. A peculiar church. God called each and every one of you here for a very specific and peculiar reason. Sometimes it's easy to minister into what is. It's not always easy to preach into what is not. What, you know what I mean by that? We see something that's come, but it's not operating yet. And you hear all the things, if you'll just do this, and this will come. There's a lot of things, but listen, you got to understand something about what's coming. It is a commissioned event. Now, I want you to go for a minute to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. He said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? And no man in heaven and earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. They weren't even allowed to look in that yet. There was a time, a lot of things in God's word, he has the innate ability to hide his mysteries in. That's why they're called mysteries. Unto you, he said, disciples have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They carried inside of them something before its time. They looked upon it when they were in the upper room. They knew what was coming. They believed in what was coming. They were in tune with what was coming. They were synced up with what was coming. And their prayers were in agreement with what was coming, because they were given God's word. He said, it's coming. I'm telling you, we have God's word on what is coming. Very specific word that's been sealed up in that book. That book is now opening. He hasn't opened the seal yet, but he's opening the revelation of what's in there. You must understand something about this book. He said, well, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's prevailed to open the book. And then he sees, notice this wording, and I beheld, verse 6, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth on all the earth. He's looking at the Holy Spirit hovering over the Lord. When you see the seven horns and seven eyes, we preach into this a lot. That was the Holy Spirit resting upon him. And John was seeing, looking at things to come. That hadn't happened yet. Notice what it said. These seven spirits of God, which were operations of the Holy Spirit, the horns representing the kingly anointing, the eyes representing the priestly anointing, were sent forth into all the earth. But they hadn't been sent forth yet, because he was looking at things to come. It was another movement of the Holy Spirit. And the elders began to sing, worthy is the Lamb, and we shall be kings and priests, and they're going to reign in the earth. They saw a time where God's people would reign in the earth as kings and priests. Say, reign in the earth with great power. They saw it and it was all sealed up in a book. Now go to chapter 6. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. I heard as with the noise of thunder one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now everything that they saw in chapter 5 was all being conglomerated into this first seal. They were in intercession for it. The elders were in intercession. The Lamb was the one that was going to open this book, and he was going to open that first seal. Once this seal opens, everything begins. You must understand. There is no turning back. Humanity is set on a divine timeline as soon as this seal opens. This seal is going to display the last testimony of God's grace to the earth. And then the judgment's going to begin. And the world is not awake to it. People are not ready for what's coming. You should see the signs of the times. Every one of us can discern the signs of the time. Hatred for the Jewish people, hatred for Christianity is on the rise again. That stuff is not going to go away. Politicians are not going to put that stuff out. I don't care what you say. Violence is on the rise. That stuff's not going to be put out. It's going to continue growing, but God's light is going to grow. He's got one final great testimony. Well, he's got three of them, actually. But for his church, he's got one final bride, the glorious bride. Well, he's coming back for a glorious bride. Bride ain't glorious right now. What's going to make the bride glorious is about to come out of heaven. He's going to put something on us, a whole nother operation. And I saw, behold, a white horse. God loved this white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. Now, how is the world ever going to know that white horse is the bridal company of God's end time sons and daughters that are going to ride that horse victorious? It is the kings and priests that were spoken of in the previous chapter. It is the seven horns and the seven eyes that are going to be sent forth on all the earth. How is the earth ever going to know that's going to show up? When the seal gets open, how is anybody going to know the seal's open? Heaven's going to know it. But how is anybody going to know when the seal's open? God is going to raise somebody up to announce it. He's going to raise a people up to, just like they did in the early church. When the Holy Ghost fell, they were already in position to tell people what was going on. They already saw it. They weren't clueless about what heaven was bringing down in the earth. They already had it. And that's what this constitution is. It's the word of the kingdom that is coming. I know we're operating in the kingdom now, but there is a move coming. It's a government, a spiritual government we call the king-priest government. This word has been given to us by God. We are a people on the earth, a church in the earth that has been synced up with what's heaven's about to do. When heaven arrives with something like this, he already had in the early church, as soon as the Holy Spirit fell, Peter stood up. This was spoken of the prophet Joel. He knew that because the Lord opened that book to him and showed it to him. He opened the Psalms to him because his first teachings were out of Psalm 16 about the resurrection of Christ. He opened the book of Moses to them. The Lord opened to him in his resurrection. When he appeared before them in the room, he opened the books. Why? Because they were going to announce through their earthly testimony what heaven was announcing by heavenly testimony. Holy Ghost is going to announce his arrival. Now, Holy Ghost already here. I get that. I speak in tongues like you speak in tongues. Shandai Randai. Tie my bow tie, drive my Hyundai. I was raised praying in tongues. I know a lot about the Holy Ghost. But there is another operation. That's why he's sitting hovering over the Lamb that was slain. Seven horns, seven eyes. Hovering, hovering. Who's worthy to open the seal? The Lamb is. He's got the Holy Spirit on him. The seven spirits of God. The seven horns, the king, the authority, the perfection of king, the perfection of the priest. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And they began to sing. The kings and priests will reign in the earth. The kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. They were singing it. They were decreeing it. They see it in heaven. But something else is happening. The elders in chapter 5 were collecting prayers from the saints in the earth. There were saints in the earth synced up. So they took bowls, golden bowls, and they were collecting the prayers of the saints. And those prayers, says, became incense before the throne of God. Why does God want somebody synced up? Why don't he just show up? When he does show up, he has somebody announce what this is. When he shows up in a new way, he has somebody announce that already knows what this is, has already been shown what this is, and they are a part of God's announcement. You're going to know when he comes, but you already know it's coming. They're saying, I'm part of those who already know. When it shows up, I've been waiting on this. Everybody else goes, what is this? And we're saying, we've been waiting on it. We can tell you what this is. This was spoken of by the Apostle John right here, right here, right here. It was spoken of in Zechariah 4. It was spoken of in Zechariah 6. It was spoken in Zechariah 10. It's the goodly war horse riding victoriously. But more importantly, it's the announcement. The last days have begun. That book of Revelation that God put in there, you got to know the book has been opened. The seal has been loosed. And the white horse is running. The first seal is that white horse. All things have begun. Why is that important? Because God's going to bring the earth into accountability. Because there's no more, one day is going to be gone. That day is now. You are in the time now. No more one days. That's what God's about to do. He's going to bring the earth into accountability. To say what was in those books. Well, one day he's going to open the seals. No, he just opened the seal. And we are testifying of that seal. That white horse. Now here's the beautiful thing. I was telling Anna this on the way here. When this kind of stuff comes out of heaven, God doesn't just have you announce it with words. No more than the apostles announce what was going on with words. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. See, when God brings some out of heaven of this magnitude, he's going to back it up. Just like when the Lord showed up. I am the Son of God. No man seen the Father, but I seen him. He was the Son of God, but the Father himself had to back his words with power. He said to him, he said, you cannot believe what I say to you, that I am carrying salvation, that I am the only way, the truth and the life, then believe the works, for they'll testify of me. They knew no man could do these miracles, but they hated him for it. They hated him because the power is on him. God doesn't bring something like that to heaven without testimony to back it up. When God commissions something from heaven, when he commissions an earthly group of people, like he commissioned the early church, he gave them the eyewitness corporately, and he gave them power, and he gave them great power. One other thing's going to happen to this one. He's going to give great wealth with this one. There's the wealth transference. When this anointing comes out of heaven and it hits God's people, it's going to be a level of glory and power and manifestation that's not presently operating. It's going to happen in a first world nation. You're going to see paraplegics get right up out of the chair. You're going to see creative miracles. People are going to watch them happen. You're not going to pray the prayer of faith and are going to walk on and say, be healed. You're not going to just get a little knee healed. You're going to get somebody who's been on a bed for 15 years that have never walked on the legs that they've got. And all of a sudden those little legs are going to start walking in front of everybody. He's going to astonish people. The power is going to astonish even this nation. It's turning their back on God. They're going to get astonished because he's going to put it right up in their face. Because he's going to make them accountable for the last days. He's going to bring them accountable by the power in the demonstration to come. And this demonstration is for a purpose. It backs what you're saying. Because one of the things, whether you like it or not, because you called here, you're part of it. When this thing releases, you're here to bear testimony. This is that which was prophesied in the book of Revelation. This is the white horse. I'm telling you and decreeing. And bearing witness that the seal has been opened. You're going to bear witness that the book's been opened. He's going to bring the nations into the accountability of no more in the last days are coming. That book is going to get open in front of humanity. Now, that's not the Antichrist yet. Don't get off. That's God's last movement of great grace. The victorious bride riding to show the world he's king of the earth and all of its resources. And he is the apostle and high priest. He'll show his church that he is the apostle. And he'll show the world he's savior. And we'll testify of these things with great power. You haven't seen harvest. I was so thrilled to see Reinhard Barkey come in here. 3,000. When the book of Acts broke loose, the first message, 3,000 born again. And nobody even knew they were in town. The second message, 5,000. Now imagine the magnitude of our city when this power breaks loose. The reason what's going to cause it is the tremendous outpouring of creative miracles, creative demonstration. God's going to astonish again. Do you understand that? He's going to astonish. The rider of the white horse is a company. In Zechariah 10, it says Judah, a company of Judah, would ride the white horse and they would bring forth the final stone. They would bring forth the corner. They'd bring forth the nail. They would bring forth that final stone. See, God's going to bring the final stone of his temple he's building. And the last day riders, which is you and me, the body of Christ, the bride, but God's remnant bride, is going to ride victoriously. And those of you that have carried the promises of power, have carried great promises of demonstration, you have seen the nations, you've seen flags over nations. God told you you were going to have the nations, and it hadn't happened yet. I'm talking to you too, because it's coming. A lot of your promises, that porch is going to get filled up with those names etched in gold. Like Richard, when he went to heaven, he went into a porch. It was like a 100 feet wide, I guess, 40 foot. And he looked down and the Lord was standing there with him. He said, "This is your mansion, Richard." He couldn't even see down to such glory. It was so far he could only see certain pillars. And he had pillars and golden bands and diamonds on these big pillars. And he looked down and there's a marble floor. And that marble floor was etched in gold. Names as far as the eyes could see. He said, "Who are all these names?" And the Lord told him, he said, "This is those that you'll win before me, before my return." See, that floor is not full yet. Because this next level is where the floor is going to get full. The next level is where he's going to redeem the time. This next level, you're going to get up, and in 1 week, you're going to reap more than you reaped in your whole lifetime. Because the next level is going to have such an awesome, glorious splendor of power that you're going to walk whole and healed, and your body's not going to affect you anymore. Say, "Lord, how am I going to run like this anymore?" And the Spirit of the Lord said, "You're going to run because my healing glory is going to renew your strength like the eagle." The Lord says, "Mark my words, I'm going to renew your youth like the eagle." And people will say to you, "You look 20 years younger," and you're going to say, "I feel 20 years younger." You have the wisdom of the age, but you'll have the body of the young, says the Spirit of the Lord. And you're going to ride and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "I'll fill the porch at the running of the white horse. I'll redeem the time." God is going to redeem the time with kings. He's going to redeem it with evangelists, with apostles and prophets. He's going to redeem the time because what you're looking at has not been released out of heaven. It's in that white horse. Those seven horns and the seven eyes, the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God are going to come down out of heaven. It's a whole new movement, baby. Now, before all this talk of the Antichrist and all that shows up, listen, we are in the end days, but God's going to have his horse run. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I'm going to bring this nation, especially because they're my nation, I'm going to bring my people into accountability to this book. Because when the white horse releases, I'm going to bring the testimony. God's not going to send something like that without some kind of testimony involved with it. Power that backs and authenticates. You can get up and say all day something happened. Without power to authenticate it, nobody's going to believe you. It's one of the rough problems with our gospel in America. It only has a little power associated with it. It's going to change. There's going to be fullness again. There's going to be glory. There's going to be power. Churches are going to fill up overnight. You, some of you are going to walk in the churches carrying the lampstand. Do you understand what that white horse is? The first phase of this lampstand? This lampstand has three testimonies. It's the first. We've already taught into that. We're carrying what is to come. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And to him that had these mysteries and have kept them, who've heard the word of the kingdom, have received the word of the kingdom, have understood the word of the kingdom, and have kept the word of the kingdom. It's not always going to be teaching like this. Understand that. You're not always going to be teaching what is to come. When the white horse releases, you're going to be running with him. You're not going to be able to teach everybody. You're just going to say, thus saith the Lord, bam. Thus saith the Lord, bam. Right now, we are holding and keeping, and that's what this is about. The significance of this Constitution is it has been brought to fullness. 25 years of revelation compacted into this. This is what God's about to do. God has synced us up as a church, as a people, as a corporate part of his bride, corporately synced up to see that which is to come. We hold in our heart now what is to come. We're looking and standing in agreement. They don't know what you're carrying when you go out in the world. They don't know because we're carrying something invisible. But just because it's invisible, it's not invisible to us. I see it just clearly. By this we know the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by things that do appear. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that were made, even his eternal dunamis power. Our job right now is to carry this, to keep it before God, to represent, to see what is to come and stand in agreement like the book of Acts, the early church. God didn't dismiss them while they were waiting. They were praying and synced up. And the prayers of Revelation chapter 5 specifically says that there was an earthly company of people praying and connected to what was going on. Obviously, they had understanding of what was in the book. Because the elders gathered up the prayers in golden bowls and it was turned into incense. God was working with earthly companies. He's probably got companies like us all over the earth. We're peculiar people right now. Amen. But we're going to turn into powerful people very soon. The Holy Ghost is going to revolutionize. This is where we are. This is actually very, very good news. It's not easy preaching what is to come for 25 years and never getting to operate in it. Do you know that most everything I've preached, from the Capernaum inheritance, the Mount Hebron inheritance, seven pillars of apostolic government, to the corporate eyewitness, to the revelations of the lampstand, to the waters of creative life, the waters of commerce, the blessings in the water, we have 300 messages on what is to come. Everything God revealed, all the revelations that we've shared, and that's what we're rich in here is revelation. Wasn't so God could just hang it as a carrot out in front of you and never have you get it because one day you'll get enough faith to get there. It wasn't about that. It was about receiving the fullness of it and understanding it was all packaged up into a glorious white horse or a glorious golden candlestick. It was all packaged up there, and it was for an appointed time. And then the appointed time, once the commission came, everything that God ever spoke would release freely, just like the Lord himself. Not one miracle came out of his life until the age of 30. He had to hide the fact that he was the Son of God. He had to hide the fact that he was carrying a brand new operation of the Holy Spirit. And he had to live in the earth for 30 years, being subjected to the powers and the authorities that he would soon be ministering to. He had to subject himself to the priests that would get up there and not know what they were saying. And the whole time he'd be back in the synagogue knowing everything they're talking about. And he had to close his mouth. How many times you know he wanted to open his mouth and shout, "I know I am the one that you're talking about right now." They're in the synagogue. And he's like, "I am that person. I've got that. It's in me." But he couldn't say a word. For 30 years. The only time he got to get out is when his parents left him in Jerusalem. One day out, one day, and then 3 days, 5 days, he was in the synagogue, boy, unloading. And that is the age of 12. For 18 years, you don't hear a word about him. Not one word. And he went to the synagogue every week. And he'd hear those guys talk about him. And he couldn't say a word. Until his day, until the day of his coronation, where he went to the River Jordan and the Father publicly commissioned him. And when the Father publicly commissioned him, he said, "This is my beloved Son. Everything's changing now. Listen to him." And the Holy Ghost came down upon him, and he went to the wilderness for 40 days. He come back in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. He was in the fullness of the Spirit. When he did, he didn't come just announcing. The Holy Ghost came announcing. And that's what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to come announcing this white horse through God's people. They're going to know, and the world's going to be brought into accountability what's in the book. And the last days are going to begin. And once they begin, there's no turning them around. A sequential order of events will happen. One after another, after another, after another. No more one day that's going to happen. I'm just going to live my life. No, you're in it now. You better get with it now. You don't get in on this one and get caught up with the church, then you're going to have to go through that one. And you don't want to be in this world when the wrath of God's poured out. God's going to give a testimony of his grace by way of the white horse. The greatest testimony, it's going to make the former rain seem as a moderate thing. Isn't that glorious? To be able to offer up intercession? Don't be sleeping right now. Discern the times you're living in. Discern the time you're in now. There's a lot of people out there sleeping, and God's going to go wake them up. And you're going to get their reward. Because God's going to put an anointing on you to go wake people up. And they're going to run. And when you release something on them because you're carrying it, when you release it, everything they do goes on your account. Because you carried it. Be carriers of the promises of God right now. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.